Yeah, we got to keep them clear.
Keep them clear.
Gonna keep them clear.
What up? It's Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds, because I'm your host here in Tilted Pod. I'm going to talk with a couple of pauses there just to keep you on your toes, but I'm sitting here with Nate, the Daywalker Morris. How are you doing, Nate?
What up?
We're doing really good right here in the dojo, and we've got some things to talk about. Not a ton, but we've got some things. But like every week, let's start out with what we've been doing. Nate, what you got going on?
Living the dream. I've had to work a lot the past week, so I haven't got to do a whole lot of magicking and gathering, but I have been able to play a few games. I think I've got a Jeskai list pretty well nailed down that's going to be my new permanent deck. I've bought some cards for it to finish foiling it out, and it should be sweet.
Cool. Yeah, no tournaments, no nothing, no playing online.
No tournaments, no nothing. I didn't even get to play online this week. I didn't even get to play FNM. It was very sad, very droll.
Yeah, I just pretty much don't play FNM anymore. But, yeah, so this week I did a lot of work for the podcast. We've been working on getting on iTunes. We've been working on getting a new logo. We've been working on setting up the studio a little more efficiently so we can have guests. Today we're going to have our first guest. He's a new player, so don't be that excited, but he's a pretty cool guy. We're just basically working on this, you know, and seeing what's going on. Deck-wise, did I play anything fun? No, I played Affinity. Was it fun for me? Kind of. Was it fun for my opponent? Not really.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
Every time I play Burn, I feel like I have that conversation with myself.
Yeah, I did Affinity things to Affinity people who did not have an affinity for Affinity, is what I mean. How many times can I say that? I don't know, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I will say this. I tried out 16 lands. And I subbed one of the lands for a, what's the regenerate one?
Welding Jar.
And man, it was pretty good.
Yeah?
It was pretty good.
I know that when we played some games, you had some flooding problems. Or not flooding, but in Affinity standards, I guess, flooding. I mean, you got four lands, you got a lot.
That's true. It seemed pretty good. The only thing I'm concerned with is the sideboard, because my sideboard's full of colors, and you have to remove one of those colored sources. And, you know, when you're putting in a bunch of... At least I don't have a lot of blue in my sideboard. There's only, like, two spell snares right now. But 16 land affinity seems okay.
I think you must have cut a spire. Is that what you cut for the golden jar?
No. I cut the draw card, the...
Seagate Wreckage.
I had a Seagate Wreckage, okay. So I'm still now 3-1. So my mana is really not that much different. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of helps. But that's about all I've been doing. I do plan on recording some videos of that this week. Also, you know, it's obviously winter time, and it's almost over. So
Are you saying winter is coming?
Yeah, well, it's already here. And so it's going fast. Next week is the last one, right?
Yeah.
So we've been watching that, which takes up some of my Sunday time, just the whole day to prep for it, really.
You have to prep for it, too.
Yeah.
Like last week was an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening.
I get out my Viking horns, for some reason Viking horns, and fur, and I drink from a goblet all day.
Hell yeah.
I get real into it.
That's pretty into it.
Just mead. I make my own mead now.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you eat raw meat too?
I do eat raw meat though, and that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
That I do. All right, so our weeks of Magic were pretty boring. I hope yours were a lot better. But this podcast is getting better. I'm telling you, there's new things happening. There's new things that we're working on, and with your help, it's going to get even better. We appreciate all the kind words we've gotten recently. So with that, let's go into a little news.
News.
Okay, this week in our news segment, we are going to talk about some Ixalan spoilers. Spoilers that just happened.
Spoilers?
These are Ixalan spoilers. Spoilers. You got these spoilers, Bubby.
Yeah, I mean, Ixalan, we all knew Ixalan was going to be a sweet set, and so we're just getting some more and more spoilers of not rares, and I think that's kind of cool.
We got rares. What you talking about?
Well, we have all the rares, technically.
Do we have all the rares?
Yeah, we had all the rares already. So we're just getting clear pictures, and some of the commons and uncommons now are coming out. If you guys haven't seen, check them out on Mythic Spoiler. We might even put one of them up on our Twitter page. It's probably the coolest art I've ever seen.
Yo, I want to know who this guy is. I don't really know. Christopher Mueller. I know I'm saying your name wrong, buddy. I'm sorry, but this is my favorite art in any Magic card I've ever seen. I just started following it on Twitter. It was so good. It's Walk the Plank full art.
And yeah. I love game day promo. So
what's this card do, buddy?
I'm not sad that I have to get four of these, but it's a double black, two black to destroy target non-merfolk creature at sorcery speed.
Seems really good against most decks.
Good.
Oh, it's sorcery speed.
It is sorcery
not
speed.
Not quite as good.
Not quite as good, but it's still good against in the standard
seems
meta.
Seems pretty good against non-merfolk decks.
Yeah. Which makes you think that there's going to be a merfolk deck.
Oh, I hope. You hope.
Yeah, but the art is sick.
The art is so cool. Definitely check it out. I know it's hard to talk about cool art on a podcast because you can't see it. Only we can. But go somewhere and look at it. Also, I'm going to talk about my card that I think is pretty sick. Unclaimed Territory. This is an uncommon, dude. It's a land. You know I like lands.
Yeah.
When it comes in the battlefield, choose a creature type. It could be merfolk. It could be elves. It could be whatever. Add a generic or a colorless mana to your mana pool if you tap it. Or, and you can also tap to add one mana of any color, that but it can only be spent using the creature type you want to cast.
Seems
you
pretty
wanna,
good.
You want to cast. You want to cast. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you look how good Cavern of Souls was in standard and in modern.
It's Cavern of Souls without a thing. So now, if you're talking about like making an ally or a human deck or anything like that, you've got four copies of Cavern, four copies of this card, four copies of like, or the Sliver deck.
Oh, yeah,
you
for sure.
You've got like everything you need. Sliver Hive, Unclaimed Territory, Cavern of Souls.
Yeah,
It's going to be really easy to fit in the Mutavolt since Sliver's now. Yeah. I think it's kind of cool. I mean,
it's
uncommon
cool too.
It might be pretty sweet and
it's got a pretty cool art. Standard. So let's talk about Ixalan. I mean, we all know that it's dinosaurs and merfolk and vampires. We kind of talked about that last podcast. So what do you think about the lands? I mean, we're getting the buddy lands back, right? I mean, kind of a big deal for standard.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the buddy lands are tight. I think this land's tight.
Do you think that the lands are going to make standard better for two-color, three-color decks? Like, do you think they're going to have that kind of impact?
I mean, we're losing dual lands, and these are coming in, I think.
But I think these are better than the lands we're losing, though, right?
They're opposite the lands that we have right now, right? No, yeah. They're not. Cinderglade is still like Root Round Crag, everything like that.
Oh, yeah. So I guess it is about the same. They're just going to do... They just come in differently, I guess.
I don't know. I think these can be better.
They're probably easier to come into play untapped. For those of you who don't know, we're getting like Sunpetal Grove, Dragon's Call Summit, Drowned Catacomb, Glacial Fortress, and Root Round Crag. Enter the battlefield tapped unless you
control...
They're
buddy lands.
Yeah, unless you control basics.
They're good old buddy lands. So, yeah, I don't know. They're probably better.
These perhaps are almost my favorite lands. Like, I think that I started playing when these came out in one of the early core sets. So I just have a spot in my heart for them. I think that the last time I really played standard super competitively, these were probably still in rotation. They're just really good. I like them. So I'm excited to see how standard evolves with them in.
Yeah, I like them too. I think they're good. I think they're really good in two color decks for sure. I think that, and they're not bad to have like one or two of in your three color decks.
Yeah.
But there's also, there's two more good spoilers to talk about that are promo spoilers. The Buy a Box promo.
Oh yeah.
Burning Sun's Avatar. Is this a card that we could see played anywhere? It's 3/3 red. When Burning Sun's Avatar enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target opponent and 3 damage to up to 1 target creature. It's a dinosaur avatar, and it's a 6/6. So, 6/6. It costs 6. 6. This is like the new dinosaur version of Inferno Titan that's not as good as Inferno Titan, but it's still pretty sick.
It's pretty... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Inferno Titan was just so strong. I think people sometimes have the urges to play with the Titans again. I think we'll never see them again.
Or if no, we do, it'll probably be a while. Not. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. This card seems pretty good. Glorybringer's good, yeah, but Glorybringer has haste. But this still does it. It's like pop a planeswalker. You know, you can redirect that damage to a planeswalker.
Yep.
And then three damage to a creature. Mm-hmm. You're left with a 6/6. Six is not... I mean, it's fine. Its rate is fine. I bet this card is pretty badass and limited.
Yeah, and I think that...
Heavy red, though. Heavy red.
Three reds a lot. And I think that it's just a scaled back version of Inferno Titan, so it's probably at the right power level for standard, whereas I think some of those Titans were just... ridiculous.
A little busted.
Standard. Yeah, a little
busted. Let's talk about a card that I think might be kind of nuts. It seems pretty good. It could be like the new second coming of Solar Flare. Bishop of Rebirth. 3 generic and 2 white. We've got a 3/4 vampire cleric. Vigilance. He's got vigilance. That's tight. But whenever he attacks, or he or she, I'm pretty sure it's a he, you may return target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So I'm seeing a lot of threes. Seen a lot of things with threes.
Does this card remind you of another Titan?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It seems like that's what a Sun Titan. So
yeah.
it kind of feels like, you know, a dulled down version of that. It's cool. For
it
5
cool.
mana, I think this is a really cool card. I wish it had the enter the battlefield effect, you know, but
yeah.
if you're getting a 3 every time it attacks.
I mean, and it has vigilance, so it can also step back and block.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I like this card. You know, it dies to walk the plank. We make that vampire walk the plank, buddy. But it brings back all its friends. You know, there's a lot of good things that cost 3 mana in this format. I don't know what they are right now because I don't really play standard, guys. We're going to learn that. But, all right, man, that's enough with the Exelon spoilers. I'm sure we'll do a more thorough episode once we really have them all out. But
yeah.
spoilers are coming, my friends. Let's talk about something that's plaguing the multiverse or plaguing... us. We're going to talk about buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
Is this good or bad? What's up, man? What do we think? I think that the buyouts are kind of ridiculous. That, like, Golgothian Silex, a card from Antiquities, should not probably be $22.50. It should probably be nothing. But will this ever affect me? The buyout. So let me tell you about the buyout. What's happening is a bunch of players know that the ban list is, you know, the ban list, and because, or not ban list, what am I saying? The
reserve list.
Reserve list. Thank you, everyone out there yelling into your headphones and headsets. The reserve list is a reserve list, and they say they're not going back on it. I mean, it's hasn't changed as of yet, and things seem to rise that are on the reserve list. They're never really going to go down because there's only so many, and they're never going to reprint them. The older they get, I fear the, you know, harder they will be to find as well. Well, somebody had the idea of, like, let's just get every card on the reserve list. Not just the dual lands, not anything. Let's just buy all of them out. And so they've jumped. They've skyrocketed a ton. If you go to somewhere like mtgstocks.com or something like that, and you just look at the ticker, you're going to notice that everything from Legends, from Antiquities, from any set back in the day is just getting... bought out and just doubling in price, right? So that makes me wonder, is this something that the average person needs to worry about? I mean, I play Legacy. You dabble in Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these cards are like, I don't know, do I ever want one of these cards? Probably not to play, but as a collector, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I think there's something to that too. I mean, a lot of these older sets have cool cards that aren't necessarily playable, but are just cool to have in general. And I think, you know, like the Dark and Arabian Nights and stuff like that, there are cool cards that I would want to own that I would never play. And I think one of my next ventures in Magic, as far as the collectible side of it, is that I'd like to get sets of some of the, like, full sets of unfoiled cards of, you know, entire blocks of cards, just to put into binders and have as, like, kind of, you know, nostalgic of what blocks were the most fun for me and stuff like that. And I think that with these buyouts, it's harder for people to just buy cards to collect.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I mean, the collectors are now really talking about high prices. I mean, but maybe that's what they wanted this whole time. Maybe collectors were looking for their cards to gain in value that weren't just playable cards. Like, but I'm sorry, you know, Acid Rain, I mean, I guess that one's kind of cool. 3 and a blue destroy all forests in play. You know, that's not a card that should be $60, I don't think.
Yeah.
But maybe it should. It's a super weird card. Nicol Bolas, the original. Like, I can see him being kind of expensive. I mean, he's, like, gone up to, like, $45 now. I could see him being like this because of the fact that he's such a big collector item right now. You know, yeah. The original Nicol Bolas. I don't know how much of these cards are also used in Commander because we're not, you know, strong Commander players, but I have an idea that a lot of people aren't running out trying to get Lady Calaria from Legends. Right. I mean, what is this? Three, a white, a green, tap it, and she does 3 damage to target attacking or blocking creature for a 3/6. I don't think that's like the hottest card, you know, in Commander, but I could be wrong.
Right.
Maybe that's it, you know. But to be popping up over $10, you know, when she was a penny yesterday, seems pretty weird.
Seems weird.
So I mean, somebody went through and did their work, and they bought out a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So here's what I say to you. I say, if this doesn't affect you, then don't get so upset about it. Because if you really don't care, if you're playing Standard, if you're playing, you're not even, like, most of these cards aren't even Legacy cards. Like, you don't even play with them in Legacy.
Right.
If you're playing those formats, it kind of sucks about dual lands going up, you know, and spiking. But they've been spiking. So it was always yesterday to get dual lands. But I think with some of these other cards, just don't worry about it. I mean, let the collectors collect. And they're the ones driving themselves crazy. They're the ones that are going to keep punishing themselves with all these buyouts, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the collectors who are doing it and speculators. And I think speculators can sometimes make a lot of people upset.
And so, listen, I mean, last year we had Craig Berry, who was the guy who bought all of the moats.
Yeah,
and all of the Lion's Eye Diamonds, you know. And I think something like that you can view in a little bit of a different light. I've read a lot of articles about him. I think that he's a good guy. What he did was financially...
He's a good guy? I mean, I think he was making a business move. I don't think that makes him a good guy.
Well, I mean, not necessarily a good guy, but like, you know...
But not necessarily a bad guy.
Yeah,
either.
He wasn't in it maliciously or anything like that. You know, he was just doing something financially smart, and a lot of his reasons behind it were super good. You know, like, if I didn't do it, somebody was going to do it. You know, I have a family. I need to support my family. You know, I tried to be nice to the people who would contact me and ask me. You know, like, so he had a lot of things going for him in that aspect, but it's not like he was buying everything on the reserve list.
No, and but so, he actually went for heavily played. Like, to me, that's more of a buyout that is important, because now somebody might not be able to get into Dredge,
yes,
or might not be able to get into Storm, because Lion's Eye Diamonds went from $80 to, what, 160 or something
I think
time.
They went up more than that, but yeah. And so I think that something like that, you can really have a lot of dialogue about whether or not that helped or hurt the game of Magic and Magic prices. Whereas I feel like this buyout is a little bit different, just because some of these cards are never going to get played anyway.
Well, like, see, there's like really cool cards. That Old Man of the Sea. This card is not really going to be played anything. Unless we're playing 93, 94 or old school Magic, no one's playing that. And the people who play old school Magic already had these cards, or they're very, very wealthy and they didn't care before. Or they got into it before all these things started happening last year. But Old Man of the Sea is a $260 card from Arabian Nights.
Right.
I would love to own one of these because the card is kind of, like, awesome looking. It's an iconic, like, I love old Magic cards. I love anything from Mercadian Mask down. Mm-hmm. Anything from Urza's Saga all the way down. I love that old art. I love the history of Magic. I love where it came from, and to see how it's grown and how it's become such a cool, awesome game that I play today. Do I think that the game was as good back then? No. But it's how we got here, and so I respect history, and I think some of these things are cool. As the collector in me, the player in me doesn't really give a shit if Old Man of the Sea is $260, because I'm probably not going to buy it to ever play.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know, guys. I think that this is a topic that I think people get too upset about, when really, it kind of stinks. If you really want to collect things to collect them, then you're in a different game than what most people are. And I hope that the buyouts aren't awful for you. But here's the other thing. You might have a chance to make some money in this. I know there's a thrift store, not thrift store. What are they called? A rink? What are those
like
things called?
Like a Rinky Dinks but
what are they called? A swap meet?
Yeah,
a swap meet. There's like a swap meet by our house. And yeah. I know for a fact they have a lot of these cards, like Arabian Nights and Not I don't know about how many Arabian Nights, but I know they have a lot of legends and things like that.
Older cards.
Older sets. And they just have boxes and boxes and boxes of them. And these cards were worth nothing when they got them in.
Yeah.
So it might be time for me to go take a look and be like, oh, well, this just spiked $30 or this just went up 200%. So, you know, there might be a chance for you to make some money out of this if you can find some weird old collections. Because a ton of these cards, no one's going to have any clue they're worth anything because they don't, they've never been worth anything. They've always kind of been the throwaway. So for those out speculating and buying collections, you know, you might be able to find some of the jumps that happened early. The only problem is, I don't know how easy it's going to be to get rid of some of these cards.
Yeah, like,
you
know what I mean? Who's buying these
like,
cards?
Like, who is
going to
buy Golgothian Silex for $25?
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't think it's real. I think these are fake numbers, you know, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, who made these numbers of, like, what the buy price now is, like, or what they should be selling for? You know what I mean? Like,
you really can't tell unless reputable card shops have them high on their buy list.
Right.
Now, if this card is, like, I keep using Golgothian Silex because I think it's the most ridiculous card ever. But that going up to $2,250, it seems like, okay, if Star City is buy listing these at $15, then you're like, wow, all right, this card really is hyped. You know, we're gonna, but will they even buy this stuff? Because I don't think they can move it.
Right.
And they're the largest card distributor in the world. So when you show up to a tournament and you're trying to buy list your cards, you got a bunch of these, you know, antiquities, et cetera, cards. What are you gonna do?
Right.
You know, you're not gonna be able to do anything.
And they're not going to pay you nearly as much as you want for them just trying to sell them to vendors.
No, they're probably going to give you nothing.
Yeah.
And then they're going to sell them for the marketed, you know, the high market price.
Right.
All right, but that's enough about that. Actually, you know what? You tweet us what you think. And if you can change our minds, I think the reserve list is fine. But I happen to already have those cards. And I traded modern cards in for a lot of them, you know, for legacy decks.
Yeah.
And I know there's legacy decks out there that you can play without reserve lists, needing to worry too much about the reserve list, like Death and Taxes, things like this. These are very good decks, too. They're becoming less and less. It's pretty much just the dual lands now.
Yeah.
But, you know, or a Tabernacle. That sucks. That's a pretty high one. But if you have a different opinion, please hit us up, you know, at TiltedPod on Twitter, and let us know what you feel like, you know, or if it's just... If you think it's ridiculous or if you think that it's fine, you know, whatever. Just give us your opinion and we'll definitely bring it up, anybody who comments. So what's next? What do we got? The Return of Standard?
Oh, yeah, the Return of Standard. There's a lot of different standard stuff going on. We just had a tournament we'll talk about in a little bit.
Well, it's just
but let's talk about rotation.
Oh, and rotation is the real thing. So,
and how that's going to affect the standard game. Because I think that's the most important thing that people don't understand yet what's about to happen. And I know that right now you can make an argument that standard is perhaps the most fun and the most diverse it's been in a very long time. And I've heard from multiple people that now is the time that you want to be playing standard because of how well off the format is. And I always think, that's great, I should really get into that. But in the back of my mind, the one reason why a lot of people don't play standard, and perhaps one of the reasons why I don't play standard, I mean, I'm not sure, is just the fact that rotation is coming.
I will say this. In my time playing, my initial investment into Legacy and Modern was very high, you know? But I got to do that over time.
Yeah.
Now that I have those cards and I have those collections and I just want to change things here and there, my investment in Legacy and Modern is very low. Like, it's nothing. It's right. Usually penny cards here and there that I'm like, ooh, that's a cool, maybe that's a tech, or maybe that's something, or, you know, something like that. Or I want to do something to pimp it out. Then it starts getting a little higher. But trying to keep up with standard when I don't really play that often is exhausting, and it's expensive. And it goes quick, it comes fast, it goes, and it's not that expensive at first. But the fact that I'm having to change constantly because standard is because of the bannings, because of the rotation, it's way different. I mean, I honestly think standard has been more expensive for me over 5-year period than a legacy deck has.
I would almost agree with you. Yeah, I think that standard is just so expensive. And people make the argument that standard is the least expensive format.
I think there's a way to do it where it's not as bad, where you're like trading regularly. But I think you have to be a grinder.
Yeah,
I think you have to be a binder grinder in order to keep standard cheap.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're spending, let's say, $300, $400 every standard deck, and I think I'm being pretty generous with that. I mean, with how standard prices
I would say
are,
between $200 to $300.
$200, $300,
no, I would say an average is $200 to $300.
And so if you have a new deck every time a set drops, or you're spending an extra $50 to $60 every time a set drops before you get a new deck, you're easily hitting that $5,000-$6,000 over 5 years. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Oh, I could definitely think that. Especially because think about this. Think about the amount of times you change decks in a standard format. Like, where when you invest into a legacy deck, you usually are like, all right, I put a lot into this, and I really want to learn how to play it. Same with modern decks. A lot of people play their babies in modern. Now, I think it's getting to a time where modern is the people's format at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just saw that with last weekend. How many modern tournaments have we talked about? We're always talking about modern. We're definitely modern supporters on this cast.
Yeah.
But I think people are starting to get to the point where they've, over time, have maybe come up with one and two modern decks. They're starting to, you know, people are able to switch modern a little more. Legacy, really hard to switch around decks like that. Standard, you're forced to switch around decks. You can't usually pick up a deck and play it the entire season. Now, I will say that Mono Black Zombies has done a pretty good job at maintaining, but it's about to rotate. It is not.
Yeah, that's about to be gone.
Yeah, it's not going to be well, like, after rotation. The Teemer Energy deck that has been really hot, that's going to be safe, but, you know, it wasn't really a thing that long ago. So you had to invest in certain, I don't know, man. I think that standard ends up being pretty expensive, and I think that people are, and right now everyone's saying standard's super good and very diverse. And we're going to talk about the GP that just happened, GP Denver. And I agree. It does look diverse. It does look pretty fun. I'm still not a huge fan of energy as a mechanic. I think that's kind of kept me out of the format. But I don't know. It looks like a lot of this is going to be rotating soon. And I don't think people realize there's going to be 900 and something cards rotate and only 269 cards come in.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a huge differential of playable cards.
Yeah. That's a big difference. I actually think I like smaller format standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I do, but I just think I do. But a lot of people are concerned for the health of the format once that rotation happens. That being said, I'm excited for Ixalan because I'm excited just... I mean, I love new cards. Who doesn't love new cards? Let's get pumped for new cards.
New cards!
I don't really care about... You know, we're not trying to be downers or bummers here. And we're not trying to alienate people who play Standard. And if you think that Standard has just been way cheaper, then... Good on you, because you've probably done a really good job getting out when cards are rotating and getting in to cards before they spike.
Yeah.
But I'm awful at it, and I have gotten burned so bad so many times, and Standard has ended up costing me a ton of money, and I don't even get to play it very often because it's not very popular where I am, you know, because it hasn't been great.
Right.
That being said, let's get into tournament results. Nate, we're going to start off with Standard because we've been talking about it. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess whenever you talk about Standard and tournaments right now, you got to talk about the man, Brad Nelson.
Oh, Bart Narson? Oh, Bart Narson.
What a machine. Yeah. He's a machine.
He's like the Burt Chrysler of Magic players.
Heck yeah. Brad Nelson, good on you. Playing Teemer Energy. I mean... The deck's hot, right? Like, this is probably one of the hot decks in Standard.
I think the deck's cold. No, I'm just kidding. It's very hot.
And a lot of people were so upset when this deck, you know, had to go from an Aether Marvelworks deck to just an energy deck.
So, is it weird, but if this deck was called Rug Energy, do you know how much more I would like this deck? I don't know why. Teemer is one of the only ones that has ever been like, I really would prefer it to be called Rug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the two big ones are like Rug and Bug.
Yeah.
Bug Delver.
Rug,
just sounds
Bug.
Amazing.
And American.
American Control?
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, the new names for the three colors aren't so hip on me yet. I like a few of them, but... It's hard to tell. But yeah, this deck is super cool. It's your basic energy deck, though. Like, I think that it's cool it's running a Ronus. I like Ronus. I like Glorybringer. You know, a lot of the cards are powerful. I think that, as we've said before, a Braid matched with Harness Lightning and Magma Spray is probably one of the...
Lots of removal, lots of
coolest removal packages you can have, you know.
Oh, we got someone knocking on the door here in the studio. We are going to be bringing on our buddy. He's going to help us break down these results. Little Sean Money Munfield, hold on a second. Welcome to the studio, Sean Munfield. He is our resident noob, and he's going to be helping us out.
To the best of his abilities.
Basically asking a lot of questions on what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you introduce yourself and tell the people what you're like?
Well, I'm just a normal guy.
That's cool.
That's dope.
Big, huge magic guy.
Big, huge
Have
magic
been
guy?
My whole life, yep.
Yeah.
Big into magic.
Big into magic. He's actually talking about David Blaine style magic. He's really into that.
He loves card
Magic
tricks.
The Gathering is pretty new to him. New to him. He's new to it. Whatever. All right, let's get back on track. He's coming in second place, BBD, with Teemer Energy. So that's a lot of Teemer Energy in this top eight.
I think they're playing the exact same deck.
I think so, too. You know what card I like?
Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
Okay, well, I like that. I also like Rhonas the Indomitable.
Yeah.
Yeah, big old Snake God. Snake God is tight, you know?
Snake God is tight.
I still don't understand. Oh, because it's a snake. Death Touch. It has Death Touch. I just never really got why it had Death Touch.
It's a snake. It's like a
snake,
viper.
I guess. So. Snakes. It's a cobra, in fact.
Oh, cobra.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something every day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, man, I just wish I knew. I will say this. I wish I knew more about Standard, but I will say that I think that Sky Sovereign Council Flagship is a pretty hot card right now. I mean, 5 mana, 6/5, flying. When it enters the battlefield, 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker and opponent controls, and it's only a crew for 3. Seems pretty fucking fire.
It seems pretty good. I mean, you gotta think the standard meta is real fast right now, I think, with mono black zombies and Ruminap Red just kind of rolling in every match you got, probably. And so I think that 2 is the right number in this deck.
Well, it's also legendary.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, it's not a card that you want in your opening hand by any means. You're not being able to ramp that out on turn 3 or anything.
No, I think it's a card that just no deck can remove.
That's probably true.
And I mean, a Braid, that's about it.
A Braid's pretty hot right now, too.
A Braid is good. A Braid's definitely better in this Teemer Energy deck than it is in the Ramunap Red decks. So, John Rolfio, I like to call him John Rolfio, in third place, it's actually just John Rolfe. We're coming in with a little Ramunap Red.
You know what I like about this deck the most?
4 Bomat Couriers.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I bought 28 of them. I'm going to keep running that down your guys' throat until somebody buys all 28 from me. That's pretty cool. You know what else is cool? Earthshaker Kinra. I think we all know that. Earthshaker Kinra is the real deal. It's the truth. It's here to stay. Hazoret is the truth. It's here to stay. I like these gods. The red and green god are my 2 favorite for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've noticed that Scavenger Grounds is definitely the land of choice for like the additional land.
Yeah.
Exile in a Graveyard is very important, especially for some of these decks we're going to see later in these white, blue, or American God Pharaoh Gift decks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see anything crazy here? This looks pretty normal.
It's pretty normal. I think that the sideboard's hot.
He goes big.
He goes big. And I think that I like that the most. 4 Glorybringers, 2 more Chandras to bring in.
Some Sweltering Suns. It's going to sweep up my opponents.
And 1 Hour of Devastation. So I really like the sideboard and how...
He's got 4 Braids, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the Mono Red has to. It just can't get stopped
I thought they were going away from the Braids, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think Mono Red kind of dipped down to 3 and then into 2 and then kind of back up to 4. But as you said, once that Sovereign Skyship hits, you know...
You need something. We have in fourth place Corey Baumeister, who is Bart Narson's brother, I'm pretty sure, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So this looks exactly the same as the other decks we talked about. So
sure
I don't
does.
Really know if we're going to talk about this one. We're going to move on, in fact. Trust me, guys, if you came here to listen to standard stuff, you're going to be let down because we don't know that much about what we're talking about.
You're missing out.
Sean probably knows about as much as us. Mono Black Zombies. Sean does know this deck. We have got a 1 Metallic Mimic version of Mono Black Zombies. We've got Lord of the Accursed, Diagraph Colossus, Relentless Dead, 1 Metallic Mimic, 4 Dread Wanderers, 4 Crypt Breakers, some Dark Salvation, some Grasp of Darkness, and 4 Liliana's Masteries, and Scavenging Grounds again. What do you guys think about this deck?
I think it rotates.
I think it rotates as well. Look, Sky Sovereign Council flagship in the sideboard.
I think that's pretty cool. And I like the Never in Return in the sideboard as well. The zombie synergy is always real cool, so I really dig that. The one thing I will say about Standard is how well the deserts have done. And I think that that's a mechanic that is really cool.
The deserts have been straight fire.
Yeah, I think that Wizards really hit this out of the park on this one.
Sean, this is the deck you kind of started out playing whenever I first got you in Constructed. So what do you like about this deck?
Well, I don't play with the Mimic in my main board.
Right. What do you play?
It would be the Kalidus that I play with on my deck online.
Nice.
But yeah, other than that, it looks almost identical.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's only so many zombie synergies you can get going on.
And he has the two Kalidus in a sideboard, so I think that's real cool. I mean, he's got it covered. The lifelink being able to block some of the smaller creatures is probably good. And then, you know, probably gets boarded in for that.
I like it. It's cool. We're getting out of it, though. In sixth place, Ramen App Red, Sam Pardee, Hardy Party. This dude is killing it. He's just always killing it. Four of Braids, you were right. Two Incendiary Flows, 15 Mountains. I think 24 lands is so funny for a mono red deck to be like, yeah, we got to have 24 lands. But it's definitely where they're at.
It just can't miss, though.
Guys.
Four Hazorettes, though. I think that's one more than they normally play. I think the red deck has been on three for a while.
But I think Mono Black Zombies was coming up pretty hard, and so Grasp of Darkness was, I mean, they're dying.
Yeah.
They're out in their streets dying. Here's a deck I haven't seen in a while from Gregory Michael, which is White Blue Monument. This deck is tight. But with all the Abrades running around, you think an Oketra's Monument deck really couldn't do well.
Right.
That's why I think that some of the Abrades have been lacking, because there haven't been as many, you know.
I agree.
This deck is sweet. And check out this in the sideboard, Authority of the Consoles, four of them.
And I think that is dope.
Yeah, see you, Red. You put in that haster. I'm going to gain a life, and it's going to be tapped. And it's not even that good in the first place, because if it doesn't have haste, it's whatever.
Glorybringer is significantly worse against this card.
Limval, the Preserver, pretty sick. It's just a sweet deck. Again, haven't played enough, though, to know. Let's get into some cool decks. So, in eighth place, again, Ramen App Red, Zachary Kine. I think that's how you say his name. Kine. Here we go in ninth. Finally, a couple decks I can talk about. There's two or three decks I can talk about right here. White Blue, Godfarer's Gift. This is the deck. I mean, we had a whole pot on this earlier.
I think that we kind of nailed this one.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while, and with a braid in the format, it's difficult, you know, to play this type of strategy, and there's a lot of graveyard hate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's three or four Godfarer's Gifts that were just a smidge, one win away from being in the top eight. I mean, getting ninth place at a GP is, I mean, you're really close. I mean,
you're losing the breakers. That's all you're doing.
That's it. So, I mean, this is the deck that we're talking refurbishes, because we're going to try to reanimate our Godfarer's Gifts, or get it out of our library, or Gate to the Afterlife, or Hand, or Graveyard. Cataclysmic Gearhulk to come sweeping the board. Angel of Intervention to gain some life. Or Angel of Invention, I'm sorry, not Intervention. That's what my parents had with me. Champion of Wits to cycle through your deck. Glinton S. Crane. Yeah, I got to find those God Pharaoh gifts and, Gates to the Afterlife somehow. Also, this card blocks really well. This is a 1-3. But look at the top four and then block a lot of your, you know, against...
Oh, for sure.
Against Mono Red. Thraben Inspectors has just been the workhorse in Standard. Minister of the Inquiries is a cool card. And Walking Ballista. Walking Ballista just seems to... Just won't go away.
Shows
in everything.
Up. Yeah. It's everything. Like an uninvited guest everywhere.
It's always there. It's always beating me. I hate it. I like the name of this next deck in 10th. Ivan Espinosa... Zombie merge. Champion of Wits.
This is a cool deck.
Zombie. It's a zombie when you resurrect it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got lightning. It's a Fevered Visions deck, so you're going to draw a lot of cards, but it's really an Elder Deep Fiend deck. But then it's also kind of a Price of Malcolm deck.
Yeah.
It's a lot of decks. It's got these really creepy zombies that have wings, that are blue, and fly. I'm not into those. in real life, if those were real, that would be...
That'd be awful.
That'd be really bad. Sean, do you think that you want to live in a world, where zombie whores with wings flew around with sickles?
No. The answer is no.
Good. Okay.
I wouldn't want to live in a world with 99% of these cards in real life.
Good. Okay. Well, we found... All right. Nice. Thank you, Sean. And hot take by Sean. No. We will not want to live in it. Breaking news. Then... Okay, here's one. Corey Burkhart, who is a good player. Jess Kai, God Pharaoh's Gift. Guys, this one, the difference is we're getting to play Insolent Neonate, so that's what they've done. They bumped up the red for a couple of cool things. Cathartic Reunion, because I really want to get my God Pharaoh's Gift or something in the graveyard so I can refurbish it. Does this even have refurbish?
No.
Oh, it doesn't have refurbish. Oh, it's going straight up Gate to the Afterlife version, so they can't resurrect it. But they can Gate to the Afterlife it. So they got to get a lot of creatures in their graveyard. And then I like the fact that it plays Insolent Neonate. And then the sideboard, you get a bunch of cool things like Glorybringer, Chandra, Torch of Defiance, Chandra's Defeat, yada, yada. Yeah, it's cool. This looks like it's Mike Seeger's played this. Owen Turtenwald played this. A lot of people played this deck in Denver. This kind of seems like where the evolution of this deck went.
Yeah. Jeskai, and I think that's probably... the best it's going to be, I feel like. I think the red has just been incredible for it.
So, looking at this deck, how many things rotate? I don't think a ton. Walking Ballista is still good. Insolent Neonate will go.
Mm-hmm. Not a huge hit. I mean, it's a hit, but not a huge hit.
Oh, this deck is running Trophy Mage, too. That is pretty fire. So it can search out its...
I think you have to run Trophy Mage.
Gauge of the Afterlife or Aether Sphere Harvester, which is kind of neat. Yeah, I don't know. It's not really taking very many hits.
In fact, you could also Trophy Mage for Godfarer's Gift and then do something like...
you can't get Godfarer's Gift.
Can you not?
No, it has to be three.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But you can get Gate to the Afterlife, which is how you're going to get God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. It's not that great of a card itself, like in its own, but as an engine and, you know, as a tutor for this, it's nice to have a tutor. This deck is pretty safe from rotation. Do you see anything else that's pretty cool coming up in this? I mean, we got a lot of Mardu. I mean, everyone is saying that this format is really fun. To me, it looks like there's still only like four or five decks, but that is better than a world where all you had was spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
Spin the whatever it was.
Aetherworks.
Yeah, Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah. And so I think that was, I mean, I still think that's fun. Like, I like that deck. It was fun because you just did ridiculously powerful things.
But it was the same thing.
It just ruined standard,
It seemed very boring to me. Guys, again, we're sorry. If you guys are super into standard, we're not your podcast probably. But we will not leave you out completely. But now we get to talk about something that we care about.
Passionately.
Passionately, I think, yeah. That's modern. And we didn't have any big modern tournaments over the weekend. But what we did have is a little thing we get every weekend called the Modern Challenge. We also are going to talk about the Legacy Challenge. This episode, you get all Trey. You get all three
formats. Boom.
The big formats. No Pauper or anything.
No Pauper.
Hey,
you want to talk about Frontier?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
What is Frontier?
Frontier was a format that people just started making up. Whenever Modern was bad and Standard was bad, and so no one really knew what to do. And so they just made one up. It was like Extended Standard.
Or like a shortened Modern.
Shortened Modern, Extended Standard. It just wasn't very good. Basically people just wanted to play like
Siege Rhino and Collected Company decks over again. Yeah.
I tried to play it for a minute. It was, you know.
Yeah, I bought three cards for it and went, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Modern. We don't need to talk about the dead formats of Frontier.
Nah.
7-0 list.
Titan Shift. It's taken over. I mean, right?
I mean, it's probably one of the best decks in the format.
Is it safe to say that it is the best deck in the format? Would you consider this like the deck to play?
No. I think that this is a deck to play.
Why is it not the best deck?
Because Modern is way too, like, there's too many good matchups, like bad matchups for decks. You can't, it's really hard to have the best deck. I think the best deck is something like Jund or Grixis or something where you have like a lot of 50-50 matchups. I think this deck in particular just has one of the best end games there possibly is. So when you go down the stretch, this deck is just almost unstoppable. It's very hard to deal with. But it doesn't have the best, you know, starts. And I don't know. I hate playing against it. I like playing it, but I hate playing against it. It is hard to beat.
It is good. Let's take a look at this deck, though, because I think this deck is kind of sweet. This is the Hour of Promise.
This is the version I'm starting to think Prismaticum. Is just a better version.
Yeah, I'm almost on that train,
I'm too. On Hour of Promise, and I've been saying that since the card got spoiled.
Yeah, it's really good. But let's look at the sideboard, because I think this dude nailed it. By Batunaha.
Oh, you're talking about... Oh, this is his name.
Yeah, by
If you want to challenge somebody who's really good at this deck, Batunaha. Yeah, we're not going to even spell it. We're just going to move on from his name. Congratulations, though, going 7-0. Sideboard, you got Chalices.
Which is really good right now in the format.
Yeah, I think Chalice is good.
Yeah, and two Relics.
Yeah.
Also good. Ancient Grudge, two Anger of the Gods, two Beasts Within, one Great Sable Stag. Do you know what that does?
It finds something, right? It finds a forest? Or
no, it does not.
No?
It can't be countered, and it has protection from blue and black. And so it's two green and a generic, and you're just getting a beater that can sit there and block all of Death Shadow's dumb stuff.
See, do you not like great. This, or would you prefer having Chameleon Colossus?
I would prefer Chameleon Colossus.
So why do you think that they incorporated this? Because Chameleon Colossus, you can just kill him in one shot with the pump ability.
Yeah,
I feel like this is maybe Chameleon Colossus has gone up in price. Maybe this was I think they're right. Don't you think Chameleon Colossus is almost strictly better? What's the blue that you might be worried about?
I mean, I guess you could almost make a case for Repeal is a blue card, Cryptic Command,
Vapor Snag.
Vapor
but those
snag
aren't really
played. I mean,
yeah.
What are you really worried about? Like, I don't know. I think Merfolk still plays a couple Vapor Snags. I think that all the
who
all
cares?
The control
Merfolk's
going
to be able to attack through this anyways because
yeah.
It has Island Walk.
Yeah, all the control decks, though, play Cryptic Command, so maybe he just doesn't want to have it bounce, but I don't think that this is a creature you would really want to bring in for that.
Yeah, you could kill that anyways with the Lightning Bolt.
Oh, or Helix, or just
yeah, anything. So I think it's just... Honestly, I think it's the fact that... Oh, maybe it's the fact that it... I don't know. I think it's probably... A money issue.
I mean, you could also make a case that it can't be countered. So
it's 3 cents. How much is Chameleon Colossus?
Chameleon Colossus
is like
probably
$10 now.
No, they're probably like $2.
I think they're more than that, man. I think they went up.
They're dirt cheap.
But Rexage, Obstinate Baloth, Witchbane Warren, and Guy's Revenge. Now, this is a card that I think is pretty cool. Also can't be countered. Also has haste. Also, Homeboy is like a what?
6'5"? 8'5".
Oh,
and
8'5".
I think this is what you would want for the control matchup anyway. So I'm just not sure what the Sable Stag's there for.
I think it's in place of Chameleon Colossus. 100%.
Yeah. And I don't know why you just wouldn't have it. But he went 7-0, so congrats on him. I also like Witchbane Orb. What do you think about that? I mean,
I think it's all right.
Would you rather have Leyline in there? Even if you
no,
can't cast it?
No, I can't
it?
Cast it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely rather have Witchbane Orb. But, I mean, because he can cast Witchbane Orb on turn 3.
That's true. I mean,
always.
That's true. Always.
Like, always.
Yeah. They never don't have 4 lands on turn 3.
So, congrats to you. We got some 6-1. It looks like there was a lot of people playing in this tournament.
It looks like a lot of fun, too.
We got some 6-1 and Affinity. God, it's like, why won't it go away? It's still here. I really, for how well it's been doing, I just keep thinking there's no way it can hold up.
Yeah.
It can't keep up. This Affinity deck is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, because it's not interesting.
I think it's interesting in the fact that they cut a Galvanic Blast for an Etch Champion. And so they switched from a 4 damage spell to a creature who can end some games on its own.
They also cut a Mimnite for another 0 drop in Welding Jar. And now playing Welding Jar, like I was telling you about earlier, I think Welding Jar is pretty good to have main deck. Because if you have that... Usually they're waiting for this one good kill, and if you can avoid that, you can kind of get there. Like,
well, I think that they always try and hit your cranial plating or your Steel Overseer. So yeah. If you can get the blowout.
It also helps turn on your two mana. Like, you need more zero drops, but since he's cutting a Memnite, it doesn't help as much. But you need that for your Mox Opals.
Yeah.
So that way you're able to cast, like, a two mana spell on turn one with your zero drops in your deck. I mm-hmm. think that Edge Champion is good as a three of. Master of Therium always seems really good, especially when Eldrazi Tron is hot. But, the deck is really good. I mean, it's one of my favorite decks to play right now. The sideboard, he's got three Rest in Peace. I don't know exactly what he was terrified of, but...
Dredge.
This must be have a really bad matchup against Dredge. I guess Conflagrate is just awful to play against.
Discard my hand, kill all your creatures.
He's got double Blood Moon, double Aether Grids, one the Final Etch Champion, some Ancient Grudges, a couple Thoughtseize. The noticeable thing about this is he's got no... blue sideboard cards. He's got no counterspell, so he's not going to play that game. He's either going to Thoughtseize you, or he's going to Rest you, or he's going to Blood Moon you. That's going to be his way of getting out of this. He also has no way to stop a Stony Silence. If a Stony Silence is down,
game over.
It's probably pretty bad for this deck.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he's got their Blood Moons and he's running a mostly red sideboard.
I like that he's like, yeah, honed it into that. Depok-pok. Dekupak Chopra. Depok-pok. What are we at? 6-1 list?
Yep.
Okay, 6-1 list in the Modern Challenge with Eldrazi and Taxes. You know what I like about this list? It plays Aether Vial.
Aether
we talked about
good.
Aether Vial being a very good card.
Yep.
I also like Leonin Arbiter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good card. It's a good card. And I like Dark Confidant.
Haven't
seen Dark Confidant in a long time.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks to flip Thought Not Seers every once in a while, but yeah. You know, like, who cares?
I really don't hate it, because in a lot of matchups, you're not taking a lot of damage anyway.
You also have Shambling Vent,
which gives
gain
you
a little life
gain.
Back. He does not have... Oh, this is more of the tax list, so it doesn't have the Vault of the Archangel.
Yeah.
Which normally is kind of a nice, like, push-through. We got three Fatal Pushes in the side, a Relic of Progenitus, a Blessed Alliance, three Rest in Peace, three Stony Silence. Do not want to play against this deck with the three Stony Silence.
Right.
I mean, I hate that.
He's got two Orzhov Pontiffs in the sideboard, too.
Wrecks my shiz.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I've seen two of in this side in a while in this kind of deck. I think it's super good, and right now I think that it's probably the best it's ever been with Affinity being so on the rise.
Yeah, this card just fudges me up.
Yeah.
Fudges me up.
But I think it's also good in this deck against other big decks like Eldrazi Tron, stuff like that, because you can just win the block war or the swing through, and you know, you get to pump your team before you swing and then they can't block, you know, or
it leads to a lot of cool blowouts.
Yeah.
I like this deck. I think I might even want to try this deck. Actually, I like Eldrazi and Staxes, which is the red. It's basically mono white version of this deck where you're playing Big Thalia, because I think Big Thalia is still good and you're playing a bunch of red accelerants. But this is a cool deck, a very cool deck. Speaking of other cool decks and trolley decks, this seems like more of a deck to your liking, sir. Lantern Control by Canister. That is a good dude. Like it. Canister, good name. Like it with a K. Canister with a K. Ancient Stirrings, Inquisitions, Surgicals, Thoughtseize. We know how this troll deck works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a Mox Opal deck, and I love Mox Opal decks. I have this deck. I've played it a few times. It's fun.
Do you run the Infernal Tutor?
Yes. One Infernal Tutor is pretty normal. I think I had bumped up to two Collective Brutalities at one point. Abrupt Decay is good. It's a really fun deck to play if you like not having fun.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know, if you like neither person to play at all, like if I wanted Sean, our noob, say hi, Sean.
What up?
If I wanted him to never play Modern again,
right.
I would play this deck against him constantly, and he just, you know, he would never do it.
Ever again.
You see anything cool in the sideboard? Seal of Primordial, I like that. He's got the other Collective Brutalities in the side of, and some Welding Jars.
I think this deck is what it is. It's not my favorite deck.
Did you play Sun and Moon?
I do play Sun and Moon, and I wreck this deck with Sun and Moon.
Well, good for you. You should be playing this one. It's cooler.
Yeah. No,
cooler version of a prison you can't do things.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, get out of here.
I think Chalice wrecks this deck, though, and I think that's the reason why.
Big time.
A lot of people don't do it.
Combo 11408. Not the best name, but combo. Playing Titan Shift. What are we seeing here? Sweltering Suns. See, again, I'm telling you, Sweltering Suns is the better call in this meta. It's just, you can cycle it. When it's dead, it's you don't need it.
And then when it's live, it's so much better, though, like with Anger the Gods. I think Anger the Gods is the card to have.
I don't. I think you're wrong. Because we, all right, we're going to go here, counterpoint again on this one, and I am surprised that you haven't changed your mind yet. If you are playing against so many decks that, like, if you're playing the mirror, Anger of Gods is awful. Why would you ever want it?
Why would you want Sweltering Suns?
Like, because Sweltering Suns can cycle.
Okay.
So it's no longer a dead card. Why would you want Anger of Gods in your main deck if it's always going to be a dead card? Or it's not always going to be a dead card, but 50% of the time it's a dead card. This card's never dead, you know, that
I mean,
often.
Technically, if you got two Anger of the Gods, you could exile Primetime, right?
That's six mana.
For Titan Shift,
I understand you could do that, but you're dead if they're already casting.
All right, well, let's talk about Dredge.
Okay, Dredge. We can talk about it.
So you Sweltering Suns them, and then
they get... Then it's a sideboard card.
And then, yeah, but...
Because guess what? You're already playing Relic of Progenitus. So you Sweltering Suns them, and then you pop your Relic.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be sweet to do if you had both those cards, you know, in your perfect hand in game one.
I just think that...
You're just not looking for those cards in game one, I think.
Oh my God, you are looking for... You never want an Anger of Gods in game one. It's not as good. It's just not as good.
Agree to disagree. I think Anger of the Gods is the card you want to have in the main board. And I think the Sweltering Suns... Okay, let me say it like this.
Would you bring it in if
I think a 1-1 split would be better for me. Because at least I knew it was in there to get...
I think then why don't you put Anger in the sideboard if you need it? But if you're already playing Relic... And you just pop up your relics, it just seems so much more efficient to me.
I mean, what about an early turn on, like, I don't know, elves or something? I mean, I get that Sweltering Suns
does the exact
damage.
Same thing.
I don't know.
I don't need the exile on elves.
I think the exile effect's way better.
Well, I think the old cycle is. So, hey, actually, you know what? Listeners, weigh in. Tell me Nate's wrong. Tell me Nate the Daywalker is wrong, and I will feel real good. And if you think I'm wrong, you tell me too.
He's definitely wrong, listeners.
All right, Okay. You are Giftstorm coming in with 6-1, and M. Ritchie. M. Ritchie, I think this dude has played a lot of gifts. I'm not 100% sure. Nate, break down the deck for me.
I like this deck a lot. It's got the one Empty the Warrens in the main board. It's running all eight bears, so I think that's...
A full eight. I like that. I like the full eight.
I've always liked the full eight, too. It just gives you better odds of getting it. The rest of it's a lot of four ofs. Three grape shots, though. Two passing flames.
So running the 4/8 means that you cannot play Peer Through Depths,
mm-hmm.
Which we talked about last week being pretty good. It also means that you're running the 4th remand. I kind of like the 4th remand, too. It's really good in certain spots. He's got no protection, but he's running all eight bears. Yeah. And the remand becomes pretty good protection if you play the bear on 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then you win on 4 almost every time. Blood Moon in the sideboard, we've realized that that's really good. Very stock list. The big difference in these lists is always going to be that one extra bear. Do I bear or do I not bear? And do I peer or do I not peer?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Nate, it's your turn for some decks that you are into. Some white-blue control.
I really dig the white-blue control decks. I'm a little surprised that there are two who went 6-1 in this tournament. I always feel like Jeskai is the better control deck than the fact that it has the ability to go bolt, snap, bolt real quick and the game's over before you know it.
That's true. I'm starting to think that if I'm going to play a control deck, though... I like the long grind of this white-blue one because you just have more answers. Where if I'm going to go Jeskai, I think I'm more on the camp of like playing that kind of Jeskai aggro deck that's been popping up.
Yeah.
I'm talking with like Manus Riders even. Like
where, just straight aggro.
Where you're doing aggro, you're still controlling. You still have some, you know, and you can switch it up into a controlling sideboard. But this seems really good.
This plays a lot of the cards that I like playing.
This seems like more of a deck for you.
Yeah, 3 Supreme Verdicts, 3 Cryptic Commands. I really like that breakdown. I'd almost fit in the 4th Cryptic Command. I think it's really good right now.
I'm actually surprised that this isn't what you went for instead of Jeskai.
Yeah. I mean, it's got 4 Spreading Seas. I really dig that. 2 Detention Spheres.
Yeah, you have so many ways. And look, they did the Mana Leaks over Logic Knot. There's somebody who believes in the things that you say.
Yeah.
And this is the only deck I can see playing 4 Celestial Call.
Oh, yeah. I think 4 is a must in the blue-white decks, blue-white control decks.
Especially
because,
when you're running 4 Ghost Quarters. Yeah, you need...
you have a lot of stuff going on. And Four Walla Omens, I think, is great. I mean, it just stops a lot. Yeah, you know?
Really helps.
By the time you're thrown in front of something that's going to kill it, you probably have alternate ways to get rid of everything.
Well, let's
anyway.
Not pretend also that if Burn hits you three times with a Goblin Guide, you're pretty sure you're dead. Like, yeah. They're almost always going to kill you. So if you can drop that on turn two, if you're on the play, and be able to stop their Goblin Guide, then you have a chance against Burn.
Yeah.
You need something like that.
I will say that the one card out of the 60 that I would change, I really like the Planeswalker package. Two Gideon of the Trials, two Jace, Architect of Thought, and one Gideon Jura. I would probably take the Gideon Jura out.
Oh, okay. Not for Elspeth Sun's Champion, though, would you?
No.
Because I don't like Sun's Champion in the main.
I would almost, and this is an almost, and so I would almost put in a Tameo. And I think
that would be hot. That's some spiciness.
That is spicy, and I think that it would work real well.
Ramen.
And then you got kind of another way of controlling some of the decks who go all in on one creature. All
right, so let's talk about Ace. Also had a white-blue control deck. Also went 6-1. Is that, how do you say that? Just a lot of I's.
Yeah, I think it's like boy only without the boy. You know what I mean?
So it's
like,
just not the best name either. Two snaps. No Wall of Omens in this one. Mm-hmm. Three Celestial Colonnades. He must listen to this podcast. Four Supreme Verdicts. I do like... Probably no Wall of Omens because he's just going all on Supreme Verdicts. He's got the Crucible of Words package. Probably why he doesn't need all of his Celestial Colonnades, because if they die, he brings them right back.
I think it's also that he's got the four Mana Leaks, a Negate, and two Think Twices. So his card draw is kind of mitigated by getting them off of turns with the Mana Leaks, and then also has the Think Twices, which basically draws him two cards per card. So his card draw is about the same. The two Snapcaster Mages is pretty normal for blue-white control. I think in this kind of build, I'd almost go up to a third one.
Something I'm confused about, though, he's running the Crucible package, and he's running the Spreading Seas package, but he's only running two Ghost Quarters.
He's got two Tectonic Edges.
Oh, two Tech Edges. Oh, I'm dumb.
Yeah, yep. So I mean, there he's got two different ways to kind of deal with everything and keep you off your...
He can keep getting his Flooded Strands, clearing his deck out. Like, I like this deck. I really would like to test this deck and see how it plays.
Well, I think the Crucible is important because of push. And so if they're pushing your Colonnade all the time, you're just bringing it back.
Oh, yeah. I think
and reloading.
And that's why you can definitely get away with only playing three. It's really cool.
I'm actually going to eBay a Masterpiece Crucible Worlds right now.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because you're rich. You're so rich, dude.
Dude, I am a poor college student just trying to make it by.
Uh-huh. That's what you tell everybody you buy from on eBay. And
don't tell
somehow them that. Guys, if you ever... I don't know what his eBay name is, but just don't believe any ginger you see. Oh, dang. I just said a bunch. That was probably bad. I shouldn't have said that. Just kidding. Believe all gingers.
There we go. Believe all gingers.
Because, you know... Can we make up? Let's make up. I'm sorry about that.
All right, we're friends again.
The Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete.
The Sneaky Pete just crushes Magic Online, and he's playing Ad Nauseam. This is a deck we have not seen a whole lot of lately, but it always pops up here and there, and it's just really cool. Do you guys know how it works? Cool, because we don't want to explain it. It works like you draw your whole deck because you can't lose a game because of something like Phyrexian Unlife or Angel's Grace, and after you draw your whole deck with Ad Nauseam, you cast a Lightning Storm or play a Laboratory Maniac. You no longer have cards in your deck to draw, so you win the game on the spot, or you Lightning Storm them, and with hitting control and maintaining priority, you start discarding lands, and it becomes a land war. And then you just hit them for like a ton of stuff.
Can we just talk about why this deck in particular is so hot? Let's go to the sideboard.
Yeah, are you talking about the
Godhead of Awe?
Yeah, this card is pretty cool. Never seen this in the sideboard of a deck, but I didn't even know this card exists, to be completely honest. It's Humility on a Stick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it is a 4/4 flying for hybrid blue white, hybrid blue white, hybrid blue white, hybrid blue white, hybrid blue white. That was fun.
Five.
Ever done that? No, it was hard. And it's flying 4/4, and it says other creatures are 1/1. That's it. Other creatures are 1/1.
And that's it.
There's 1/1. Yeah. That's pretty good.
So I think the question the question I pose to you is, do you play the Laboratory Maniac main if you play this deck?
I think you have to now.
You think you have to now?
There's too many ways to just stop this, like there's too many Thoughtseize decks mm-hmm. right now where if you draw it, I mean, I played this deck for a long time a few years ago, and it was sometimes like frustrating if you just draw it and then they happen to Thoughtseize you at the right time.
Right.
You know, and you don't have a pact or you don't have a way to keep it out and they take that from you. There was also when, that's why I bought all my Conflagrates a while back, because I would run one of these and a Conflagrate. In case they Thoughtseize your Conflagrate, you're able to recast it from the graveyard, right? Mm-hmm. And if you draw it going off, you can recast it that way. But you can play it and then play it again and it still costs three. I think that you have to. I kind of just think you have to run it. You have to have an alternate win condition. It's, it's too easy because what if something happens, you know? And I also, like, say they have a ley line out and I don't have a way to deal with it game one. You know, and there's decks playing ley line game one right now.
I play one.
So, yeah. So, you got to have that laboratory. You got to have something. The Cyborg's Tide. This deck has been playing ley line, actually, main deck, and it's mm-hmm. not. So, yeah, cool deck. Echoing Truth is usually pretty important. What do we got next?
We have three Boros Burn decks.
Coming from Lucky High School, MRB13, and Starfall. You think he's, like, into Star Fox?
I think so. The cool part is one of these is on the Shrine of the Rage. Burning Rage.
That would be Starfall.
That'd be Starfall.
Starfall, you did the Burning Rage. What did everyone else do? They go the old school Eidolon?
Yeah, they went Eidolon, and one of them had the one of Grim Lavamancer. And I think the Grim Lavamancer I've seen be played both in the sideboard and the main board. I'm personally a fan of it being in the sideboard. I think it gives you another creature to bring in. I just don't know if you want it game one against certain decks. And so I've always felt that spot could be used better, I think.
Right. We also had an Eldrazi Taxus coming at 5-2. And then 1, 2, 3 Eldrazi Trons. One of them piloted by Pascal 3000. I think that's Pascal Maynard. Also, DJ Jazzy Jeff decided to start playing Magic. And he pilots Eldrazi Tron.
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Let's look at this Eldrazi Tron list with Sean. Sean plays Eldrazi Tron. And we're going to look at this list together. Sean, he's running 4 Walking Ballistas. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. He's running 4 Matter Reshapers. Do you agree?
Once again, absolutely.
Nice. Thought Not Seers. Gotta.
Yep.
Gotta. Reality Smashers.
Yep.
Gotta. So here's a new thing that's kind of happening is 3 Endbringers. I think there's even a lot of people talking about switching it to 4. Like, woo! It's becoming pretty big. He's got a Wyrmcoil main. Sean, you don't play Wyrmcoil main, but do you like that move?
I love that card.
Do you? Okay, yes. So that may be something we can look at.
I hate playing against it, too.
Yeah, it's awful to play against. Jesus. Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger main, which is interesting. And 2 Aulis Dust, 2 Dismember, 2 Karn, 4 Chalice, 4 Map, 1 Basilisk Caller. So I just read an article where they're talking about cutting some of the big cards. They want to go up to 4 Ghost Quarters. They want to take away a Seagate Wreckage and the Sanctum of Ugin. They want to cut 1 Karn. They want to probably add a Dismember and go to 4 Inbringers and take out the Basilisk Caller. That way you've got more of this, like, you can more reliably cast Inbringer off of your Eldrazi Temples. You're not really stuck looking for that 7th mana. You know, and this sometimes with this deck, it can be hard to cast Karn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely. Absolutely. But 6 is not that hard to get to, especially when you're starting to Expedition map and pop it looking for temples. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think there's room, you know, to consider that, to going that route. I kind of like it. It's a little sleeker. And you can always put those Karns and you can always do that stuff in the sideboard whenever you have those matches where you really need to go big. I don't know. What do you think about that, Nate? Where do you lie on the Wyrmcoil Ulamog Karns, or keep it Eldrazi, keep it old school, and kick it back?
Let me tell you what I did today.
Okay, what did you do?
So I had to work today in a town close to us, Parkersburg, mm-hmm. and I went to the local game shop, mm-hmm. and there I saw a playset of Eldrazi Mimics. So I think that we need to make Eldrazi great again, and somehow squeeze in Mimics.
So people have been doing this, but if you're going to play the Mimic version, yeah, there's been one. There's one guy we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. We found the guy who was playing Mimics.
Yep.
The problem is, it doesn't have a very good late game. I mean,
that's true. I mean,
it's a bad draw late game.
I think that if you can squeeze in four Mimics,
I love Mimic though,
or even three Mimics, your deck gets more aggressive. And then if you go two Ulamog and two Karn, your late game is still there.
Except when you draw a Mimic.
I mean, yeah. That's the problem.
Is Mimic is always bad to draw at the end of the game.
And unless you have an Ulamog that you're going to play right after Mimic, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of mana. I hope you're winning that game.
This deck has a lot of mana.
I hope you're winning that game anyways, though.
Yeah, this deck has a lot of mana. I mean, if you can...
I'm down to try testing out some versions of Mimic.
If you can run Eldrazi Mimic into Ulamog, you have a pretty sweet setup going on.
I think you smoke crack sometimes because you have some of the fun. I'm down for a mimic.
There's nothing wrong with crack.
I'm down for a mimic into a 10-10.
Holding in my mimics right now that I bought the play set up.
Are they foils?
Huh? They're not foils.
Okay. Wow. I can't believe you bought something that wasn't foil.
I was so excited about...
I'm going to have a heart attack.
Can I see one, Nate?
I was so excited about Mimic, I just had to buy it.
Did you just forget that that card existed? I love that card.
I mean, I didn't forget, but I think it's a card that should see more play than
all right, I'm going to hold that to you. All right, Nate's calling out more Mimics.
Make Mimic great again.
Okay, so let's look at some of these other lists and see if there's any Mimics. Boom, four Inbringers. Here we go by Noaird. He is on the four Inbringers.
I don't
no
like
Karns at all.
Yeah.
Four Relic of Progenitus.
Yeah, it's...
See, I kind of think this list is cool.
You're is not, it? I mean...
I like it. I like the idea of, instead of playing four Relic of Progenitus, though, playing two Warping Whale main. I think Warping Whale is a card that could be really good. Let's talk about this. Scapeshift is now the most popular deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
This deck has no way to stop a Scapeshift.
Nope.
Unless you're playing Warping Whale main deck.
Yep.
And then you counter that thing.
Yep.
Yeah. See ya. Goodbye. Goodbye. Also, helps you cast some of your Inbringers and stuff after, if you don't have that extra Eldrazi Temple, it's way less reliant on hitting your Tron lands because you don't have any of those 7-mana cards stuck in your hand that you couldn't cast off of temples. I like it. I think I want to try this version. It's really just sucking it in. But I do think that over Relic, I would like to try, over the third and fourth Relic, I would like to try two Warping Whales main.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk about the next one.
All right.
Merfolk by Nikachu.
Oh, wait. What's it called?
Merfolk. Sean, what's that called?
Merfolk.
Oh, that's
Merfolk.
Right. Merfolk.
Like the female horse.
Or like Merica.
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 Merfolk.
Nikachu, I follow you on your YouTube stuff. You have a lot of great content. Congrats on the 5-2. I know that you've been on this kind of deck for a while. I see you're on the two Smuggler's Copters like you've been talking about. It's a great card in Modern.
In Aether Vial decks.
And Aether Vial decks, yeah. This is a cool deck, though. I really like Smuggler's Copter. It's a great Modern card. He's still on the two Kira, Great God Splinter.
I still think that card's good.
Yeah. And three Harbinger of the Tides instead of the full play set of fours. He's running a Gemstone Cavern now. I think that's pretty important in the times where you need to be ahead on turn one anyway. And if you can get lucky enough to get in your opening hand on the draw, it really can turn a game around.
This is sweet. My favorite thing about this deck is four gut shots in the side.
Gotta have it.
I think it's really cool, man. Just take two life, kill a threat. It's important. I don't think this deck can beat combo decks that well.
Yeah.
He's
also not running any of these spell pierces or
yeah, he's just
spells.
Like, kill it. Yeah. I'm going to beat you down. I'm going to kill it. Sweet. Congratulations, Nikachu. We see anything else cool? Shock Trooper did it again with Mono Blue Gifstron. Don't want to talk about it. Stabilo. Boom. Here's the Endless One Eldrazi Mimic deck. This is the one I was talking about. This is Stax. This is colorless Eldrazi. So this deck is running Endless One, Eldrazi Mimic, Eternal Scourge, Matter Reshaper, Simeon Spirit Guide, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, Dismember, Chalice of the Void, Serum Powder, and Blink Moth Nexus. The card here, Serum Powder, is the thing. So it is a 3-mana at tap, add 1 mana to your mana pool, and anytime you can mulligan and Serum Powder is in your hand, you may remove your hand from the game and draw that many cards. So if you open up and you're like, I want to mulligan my 7, show Serum Powder, remove that whole hand, don't shuffle it back in your deck, shuffle up your new thing, and draw 7 cards. Actually, you don't even shuffle, do you? You just draw 7 more cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then just draw seven cards with that completely removed. So you're really searching for these extremely explosive hands with a Simeon Spirit Guide, a land, and a chalice, and then you get them with that mimic into, you know... I think this deck is sweet. It is basically the closest thing we can have to that Eldrazi winter or Eldrazi summer, Eldrazi year we had where Eye of Ugin was still around. This is the closest we can get. It also runs Gemstone Caverns, so you've got that extra mana. I love this deck. I think it's really cool. Stabilo, is he the one playing it? Yeah, he was really into the Staxes deck I was talking about, the Eldrazi Staxes deck, where it's the mono white playing Thalia, but I think this might be just a better version. You should order some Sarin Powders for me real quick. That's what we should do.
Sarin Powders?
Yeah, that's an important part of this deck. Were you even listening? Sometimes, listeners, this guy doesn't even listen to me. He just talks when I tell him to. Okay. Tron, 5/2. Yeah, this is old Tron. It's black and green. It's cool. Not a whole lot left. But I got to throw out one more thing. So there's not a whole bunch else cool in this. I mean, there's some Jeskai controls. There's something like this. Except for our boy and fan of the pod, Jay Snyder, 207, came again 4-3 with Amulet Titan. He's just holding it down for this deck. He's made some changes to it, and I definitely suggest you go check it out. I don't want to talk too much about them right now because I really want to play this deck first before I get deep into it. But he's got a couple of things that combo really well with his Retreat to Coral Helm package. And one of those things is a little thing called Lotus Cobra. So if you don't have a amulet out, guess what? You're still making infinite mana with a Lotus Cobra.
That's a little
really
gross.
Cool.
Yeah,
really cool idea. Also, if you have an amulet out and you have a Tireless Tracker, you can draw your whole deck.
Just go off
and just draw your whole deck each time. I like this deck. I like Jay Snyder's. All right, we got one more tournament to talk about because we haven't gotten to talk about it very much. And this tournament is the Legacy Challenge. And we're not going to get super in depth with the Legacy Challenge because we want to play a game after this and we go hard on Modern. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the... We're going to go down through the 5/2 decks. And we're going to go fast. First deck is 7-0 Max Torsion. Tight name.
Tight.
This is a WUBG list. Wubuga.
Wubuga. Wubuga.
We're playing Deathrite Shamans, Delver Secrets, and Gurmag Anglers. It's got Fatal Push, Spell Pierce, Swords to the Plowshares, Thought Scour, Daze, Lingering Souls, Force of Will. This is a wild deck, dude.
I mean, it's crazy to think that Fatal Push is pushed so hard into Legacy as well. I mean, just a card that's an uncommon, you know, I think that's pretty cool. The deck, though, is pretty sweet. I love the Lingering Souls. I think that's a good color to splash for. I mean, other than that, I don't really see much white outside of his sideboard. His sideboard is strictly white and black. And I like that.
Yeah, Containment Priest, very important in a lot of matchups, especially the Sneak and Show or Aether Vial matchups. It's good. Disenchant, you just need something like that. Aether Sworn Canonist for some Storm actions. Some Zealous Persecutions can be really good. Liliana the Last Hope, very cool to see that hitting Legacy.
She seems pretty good. And Vindicate.
Yeah, Vindicate is pretty sweet too. I love this deck. I think it's cool. I think if you're going to play a Delver deck like this, I mean, it's just a wild Delver deck to me. I mean, it's Esper Delver really is all it is.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, splashing that tiny, tiny green for the Deathrite Shaman. Esper Delver's kind of cool. We got Elves coming in at 6-1. Elves is a list that I have not seen do very well online, right? It's a very hard deck to play.
Mm-hmm.
Nate knows he's awful at it. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. And,
pretty terrible.
But it's really hard to play. There's a lot of things to remember. There's a lot of secrets to it. And it just hasn't been doing that well online. But it's not that expensive online. If you want to invest into a Legacy deck online, this is a great one to get into. The cool thing about this Elves list is it plays Nissa Vital Force. This is something I've heard from Elves players going to, but I've never seen it main deck. This is pretty sweet. What do you think about that as an Elves player yourself?
I'm not sure. I mean, it seems good, right? It just seems good. It's a 5-drop. Mana's not a problem for it. So I'm all about that. It's cool that its plus ability is untapping a land. If your Cradle has been, you know, lucky enough to survive into after you're playing Nissa and you get to untap your Cradle, you get to do a lot more cool stuff.
You also can get your cradle back.
You can also get your cradle back.
In a world full of wastelands,
yeah,
you can get your cradles back.
And so it doesn't, to me, and I have not played the version where it has it in it, I don't think it's powerful enough to have mainboarded.
Hmm. I don't know. We'll have to do some research on that. I think it's pretty cool. We're going to bring on, actually pretty soon, we're going to bring on a elves expert, little Tony Bibbs.
Black Guile.
And he is going to, we're going to do an elves breakdown eventually. But Cyborg, he's running two chokes, two mind break traps. Those are the cool ones I've seen in the side.
And I really like the mind break trap. I mean, I think that's pretty sweet.
It's important for the elves list to have some way to beat Storm.
Yeah.
All right. Four color Leovold is 6-1 and 6-1. So notable here, Oarsman. That name ring a bell?
It seems pretty familiar.
Because that was the best Miracles player possibly of all time. And now that Miracles isn't around, what's he going to go to? A Leovold deck. Yeah, that is Mr. Joe Lossett, Oarsman. He went 6-1 with this deck list. You got your Strix, you got your Snappies, you got your Leovolds, and you got your True Name Nemesis. And of course, every deck has to have Deathrite Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
This deck, it plays two Culligan's commands main. I mean,
it also plays two Unearths.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool deck.
This deck is really cool. I like to say Anul, counter target artifact or enchantment spell. In the sideboard, pretty cool. Invasive Surgery, really nice. It's a great card in Legacy. And Minister of Pain, weird one, Exploit. The Exploit mechanic is whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a creature. And when Minister of Pain exploits a creature, creatures your opponent control get -1/-1 until end of turn. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure why this is what he went with over, probably because there's no white in this list, and most of those effects are white, but I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And I think Leovold is, I think we've talked about this before, I think Leovold is almost the best card in Legacy right now. And there's a lot of Leovold decks on the Legacy Challenge in the...
Oh, a ton of Leovold decks. Yeah. Not very many lands in this thing. I don't see any really bumming me out.
No lands.
But I'm going to come back in next week and I'm going to kill it. But here are the two decks I know you want to talk about. Big Red.
Big Red. So it's just like, you know, a cool version of, you know, Red White Prison, only with more powerful cards. There's two here that both went 5-2. I personally like one. The name is Zach Withak. Four Goblin Realmmasters, four Magus of the Moon, four Spirit Guides, a Hazoret, which I think is super cool, and a Quicksmith Rebel. And I really like Quicksmith Rebel. The more that we've talked about earlier, the more I kind of want to get one and put it in my modern deck.
I love Quicksmith Rebel.
I think it's a card that just lets you win the game. I think it goes really well with Ensnaring Bridge, Chrome Mox, you know, Chalice of the Void, Trinisphere, all of your cards that you're trying to lock down to, they also do damage. I also love four Chandra Torture Defiance.
Yeah, four Chandra is really good. I think four Fiery Confluence is really amazing too. And if you could play this card in Modern, wouldn't you?
I mean, for sure.
This is why I wish so much. This is why Legacy kind of has the edge to me over Modern. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But the fact that we get supplementary product and we can actually look at these cards coming up in the Commander sets and we can look at things like that and we can play them in Legacy makes it so much more fun. We get so many new toys, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what's happening with all these toys, but I wish that Modern got them. What do we got? Bunch more four-colored Leovold decks. Then we got a Grixis. This is Grixis Control, I believe. Yes, with Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Then there's a Grixis
Delver.
Yep. A Sneak and Show. Let's see if it's the 3-3-3. It is. This is the thing with threes. I love the thing of threes. So many threes. Omniscience, Sneak Attack. Everything comes in threes in this deck. This is a cool deck. Eldrazi Stompy. Finally, we're seeing a list put it up in a while. Haven't seen Eldrazi Stompy in a while. Fugi 1. But I love this deck, man. This deck has a lot of I just feel good about this deck for some reason. I don't know why. I shouldn't. But it has a sentimental value. Value. It is running... Warping Wheels main. See, I kind of just wish this was still the deck in Modern.
Just, you mean just rampaging over everybody that tries to play Modern?
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah.
That was so fun. You should have just played it.
The Eldrazi Winter.
Yeah.
I hate my life.
Anything real cool in here, though?
I mean, we got to talk about Miracles, right? I mean...
All right. I thought I'd never have to do it again, but we will.
Yeah. H.J. Kaiser, super kind of cool Miracles deck.
Super kind of cool.
I mean, Miracles will never be what it was, right? We can all agree that that's dead. Three snaps, four mentors, and two Jaces. I kind of like that split. I think that you have to cut down on the Jaces just to kind of keep everything in a control package. And so I like that he has broken up his counterspell as well. I mean, he still has the four Terminus, the one Engineer Explosive. It's just a pretty straight control deck. And so I think that it lost all of its value with the bannings, but it could still be good to play. And I like that it's not as reliant on the Terminus. It has a lot of other ways to handle creatures. I mean, he's running three
main deck Engineer Explosive.
And he's running three Portents, you know what I mean? So I think that's, he's still got some cool cards to play with.
Oh, yeah, you have so many ways to still do the Miracle effect.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like it's totally dead, but, you know. It is what it is.
It's still got plenty of good cards. And Monastery Mentor just wrecked people. So no worries about that. Are there any of these other decks cool? We got some Storm decks that kind of ended at the end. You know, just nothing mind-blowing. You know? I really love it, man. The thing I noticed, though, is the lack of... We only had one Elves list. We had no... Death and Taxes in this top. We had a few combo lists. We have one Stoneblade list, and actually this is a Stoneblade list I want to talk about. It's called Twin Stoneblade, but really it's a list with maybe they're twins, maybe Gideon Ally of Zendikar and Jace the Mind Sculptor are the twins,
because it doesn't have Splinter Twin.
No, it does not have Splinter Twin, but this is a straight blue white kind of control list with True Name Nemesis and Stoneforge. This is a cool list too. I think this list would be really fun to play. Got some Containment Priests obviously in the sideboard with some Blood Moons and no red in the main, but easy to get red in Legacy. Sweet, man. All right, well, that wraps up our challenges for the week. We're gonna do something fun. We're gonna do something fun while Sean's here.
Let's
play a game.
Let's do it.
Let's do a game.
Game time. All right.
It's game time. Everybody sit back and relax for Scry Games, brought to you by Sports Cards, etc. Yeah, this is the place we've been talking about, everybody, and they're having an Eternal Weekend Legacy Trial event this weekend, August 27th. The start time is noon, so be there and prepared to battle with the best format in the world. First prize gets $300 cash and an invocation Force of Will, as well as one round buy to Eternal Weekend in Pittsburgh, October 19th through the 22nd. Second place gets a Mana Drain from Legends. Yeah, we've been talking about the buyouts. You're going to get one. Third gets four Foil Wastelands from Eternal Masters. And fourth is a Rishadan Port Judge Foil. This is great. So let me talk about this game. It's called Scry Games. This is a game where our host, Sean Money Munfield, is going to be asking a question, and we are going to top or bottom.
It's going to be more of a statement.
Yes, a blanket statement. We're going to top or bottom. Each competitor, me and the Daywalker himself, will have 1 minute to explain our answer. I'm excited about this.
Excited? It should be a good time.
All right, so Sean, take it away. I'm setting up the timer now.
All right, for our first topic, it's going to go to Seth, a.k.a. Jack Wilds. Titan Shift being the most powerful deck in Modern.
Sean, I am going to go ahead and bottom this one, right? I don't think I'm going to look at that card and say the most powerful. We're saying most powerful. It might be the most powerful. I don't know. This is hard. There's a lot of powerful decks in Modern, right? So it's very hard to pin a format down to having one of the most powerful. I think that a deck that could win on turn two, like, overall might be the most powerful deck. But this card, I think, has one of the best late games in the format, period. So if you're looking at it in terms like that, yeah. But also, Tron, let's talk about original Tron. I mean, you got four Karns, you got Ulamog, you got some of the most powerful cards, period. I just don't think you can consider this to be the most powerful deck in Vormat.
Sean, I'm going to top it. This is the most powerful deck in Modern, and it's for many reasons. The deck can win out of nowhere. It can also win by just pulling out prime times. It can ramp fast and beat you before you can set up. It plays a lot of ways to get rid of its bad matchups. It's easily the best deck in Modern right now. And I think that I can say that it's probably better than Affinity, and the fact that I think come sideboard, its sideboard package is better, and it will just win in the late game against Affinity too. So I absolutely top that.
Very interesting takes there. Nate, we're going to give you the second topic. Deathrite Shaman should be banned in Legacy.
I am going to top this as well. I think that the banning of Sensei's Defining Top in Legacy broke the format out of the lull it was in for such a long time. Miracles was finally knocked off the pedestal. And I think if you looked at the recent results in Legacy right now, all the decks you're seeing are decks that play Deathrite Shaman effectively and even ineffectively. I think that the card is so busted, it's holding other decks down. And I think that if you got rid of Deathrite Shaman, you banned it, you see the resurgence of cool decks that utilize the graveyard more, that make sure, you know, like Dredge, other decks that aren't as fast as it. The acceleration is just too much, I think. And I think if you really want to make Legacy a better format, you can absolutely get rid of Deathrite Shaman.
All right, Seth.
Okay, there. That is going to be a bottom. Should never ban Deathrite Shaman. This is a key staple to the format, guys. This is why you want to play Legacy. There's so many fun cards, but Deathrite Shaman is one of the most fun. Do you remember when they banned it from Modern? It sucked. Everyone hated that.
I was happy.
This is my time, buddy. And you can't ban it. You can't ban it. Yes, I do agree. It is in almost every deck. It makes so many decks much more consistent. The Leovold deck probably wouldn't be such a deck without it. But it's got to be one of the most fun, powerful, interesting, and thought-provoking cards you can play with in the format that is the most fun, powerful, and thought-provoking. So if you take it away, then you're going to just neuter a great format.
Wow.
I get pretty passionate about my Legacy.
Third topic, Seth, we're going to give you the lead on this one.
We'll get the lead, sweet.
HasCon is going to be a bust.
Oh, HasCon, going to be a bust. Yeah, man, in magic terms, I'm going to say HasCon, I'm going to top that. In magic terms, I'm going to top it, and I think HasCon is going to be a bust. Do I think it's going to be fun? Probably. Do I think that I just don't think that many people are going. I've already seen that their tickets are up on Groupon. You can get them for like half off. They came out of the gates way too high. It's the first time. I think they should have just called it Magic Con instead of, I don't really care about Nerf. I don't care about Optimus Prime. I don't care about My Little Ponies. If you want to have HasCon, don't make it a magic thing. Just be like, here's HasCon. Here's the things that other people like. And then have Wizards of the Coast like Magic Con or something like that. So I think it's a bust, or I think it's a bottom.
Fair. Nate?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the ones that we just have to agree on. I think HasCon has been so overhyped on different levels. I think they're really trying to make it a Magic / Transformers Con, and then all of the other stuff is taking a real deep backseat. And so for people like me and Seth and, you know, others who aren't really into the Transformers anymore, and we'd really just be going for Magic the Gathering, it's almost not worth going just because of all the other stuff is preventing it from being the most fun you could have. And so I think that the magic aspect of HasCon is going to be a total win. Iconic Masters is finally, we're finally going to get to see some quote-unquote spoilers, even though it's going to be like kind of a release time for it. People are going to be hyping that up so much. But as far as like going to HasCon for all of the additional stuff, total bust. I don't think that anybody's really going to go for My Little Pony or Monopoly.
Yeah. I will say this. I just to get a quick thing. I do hope it does well. That's sure, yeah. I give hopes. All sure. Right, that was time, and that one.
All right, for a very interesting fourth topic, Nate, we're gonna give you the lead. Speculators are ruining Magic.
That is a hard statement, and I am going to put it... I'm going to put it on the top. So I'm going to keep that. Speculators are ruining the game of Magic because they're taking the ability for other players who may not have the means to play Magic otherwise, the ability for them to do that away. And that's because they buy all of the good cards in such large quantities to try and jack the prices up themselves and create this fake lapse of price gouging, basically, so that they can sell all of those cards away later to vendors or whatnot you for high buy list prices. And so I think by doing that, yes, they're making money. It's a good business decision for them. But I think they also kill all of the 12 to 21-year-olds who maybe can't afford to do an expensive game like Magic because of, you know, going through school, not having a job yet, or not having a great job and having to pay bills and all of that stuff. They're really taking the ability for the get for those people to maybe play with the high cost cards.
Okay.
Went a little bit over there, bud.
And that was Nate's take.
All right, so I'm up on the same question.
Jack Wilds.
Can you say it one more time, please?
Sure. Speculators are ruining Magic.
This is a hesitant bottom. I do not agree that they are ruining. Double take. Yeah, I looked at it twice. I do not agree that they are ruining Magic. You know why? Because only you can ruin Magic for yourself. Yes, it may be harder, but let's look at the real problem here to get into some of these formats if everybody's buying cards out and it gets really expensive. But I think the real problem are sometimes the big shops, because people do this knowing that they can buy less cards. They're doing buyouts to control the markets, and the big shops kind of help, like they kind of lean into that a little bit, I feel like. I think only you can let Magic not be fun. You can still have fun in Magic not playing Legacy, not playing it. It's harder to get into like a serious competitive league, but you know, I don't think speculators are ruining it. I think I did a pretty bad job at defending that, but I just don't think they're ruining Magic. It's definitely making it harder to be competitive.
Sure. All right. One of the most debated topics we have here is our last and final one. We're going to go ahead and give this to Nate first. Game of Thrones is the best show HBO ever released.
That is an automatic top, and I'm just going to go ahead and drop the mic and go boom.
That's it?
That's it. It doesn't need defending.
Well, I disagree, because it was ballers. It's the best show ever made by HBO. We're talking The Rock. We're talking other bald guys. We're talking bitches in bikinis. We're talking drinking. We're talking football.
Tons of dudes on dudes.
Dudes on dudes, action, yes. And lots of... Yeah, of course it's Game of Thrones, Sean. Why are we even talking about
this?
What
are we doing here?
Come on. If you guys don't like Game of Thrones, man, whew, then you don't like Game of Thrones, fine.
That Khaleesi,
but if you like ballers, yeah. No, I think Westworld was pretty good, but it's not as good as Game of Thrones. So. Yeah.
Kenny fucking Powers.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Vice Principals, also good. Yeah. Anything
but
like that.
But
the best. Game of Thrones. Yeah. And I think on that, we are going to end this podcast from the dojo right here in Marietta, Ohio. I'm Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds. This is Nate, the Daywalker Morris, and we're here with Money Munfield. We out. Peace.
Peace out.
Venture man, 100 cash out, cash. Smeagol money never stops. Walk around with the sandals and gloves. Fuck with the Smeagol guy, nigga get popped. Smeagol money never stop. Nah, Smeagol money never stop. It can't. Smeagol money never stop. No, Smeagol money never stop. Oh, hundreds of knives. Hundreds. Walk in the bank and cash out. Cash out. Smeagol money never stop. Smeagol. Smeagol money never stop. Oh, Smeagol money never stop. Nah, Smeagol money never stop. Nah. Walk around sandals and gloves.